Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And if you want to learn more about the ideas at the heart of these podcasts, check out our free basic course at michaelneal.org/basic course. One of the things that has fascinated me in the 30 plus years that I've been working with people, doing sort of more therapeutic work and coaching work and consulting work and, you know, what I now will often describe as being an impact catalyst, sparking change, or a creativity catalyst, sparking creative ideas, is the difference between change that is a result of willpower, trying to make yourself be different, do different, think different, as an act of effort, will, trying to create habits. It's the sort of empowered approach to change. And those moments of spontaneous change where something that looked like a good idea just suddenly looks like a bad idea, and so you stop doing it, or something that looked like a bad idea suddenly looks like a good idea, and you start doing it. And most people have a few experiences like that where they just, it was almost like they changed their mind, or they loved sugary cereal, and then they didn't have it for a while, and they went back, and when they tasted it, they were like, oh my God, this is horrible. And so something that at one time in their life they were almost addicted to, they couldn't force down if they tried. Well, there's a fairly common element in those moments of spontaneous or effortless change. And they can't be forced, but they can be facilitated. And what I want to share today is just sort of the way that that works, like a simple secret to how that works. I had my first experience of it doing a Tony Robbins course I think it was in 1990, either late 1980s or 1990. And I went along and did his certification training. And there was one exercise that he had us take an area of our life that we struggled in. You know, so I don't remember what I was doing, but I would guess, based on where I was at the time, it was probably about money, because I was just trying to get my business going and was always worrying about money. And the first place you looked at it, you kind of stepped into a circle. They laid out these pieces of paper on the floor. And the first paper, the first circle that you stepped into was the circle of environment. And you described sort of, you know, when you are dealing with money, what do you see? What do you hear? What's around you in your environment? And then we went to the next piece of paper, the next circle of behavior. And what are the things that you do when you're working with money? Again, just because money was the topic that I happened to be exploring. And then you go to the next piece of paper, the next circle, and it's the capabilities and skills. Like, what skills are you tapping into? What capabilities are you drawing on when you are working with money? And then you go to the next circle, the next piece of paper was representative of beliefs and values. So what do you believe about money? What do you think is true about money? What's important to you about money? Why does money matter to you? And then you'd step again onto the next piece of paper. And that one was the circle of identity. Who are you around whatever the topic is in my case? Who are you when it comes to money? And then we were asked to do something that was really interesting. We were asked to step off the final piece of paper and into a space that they just called beyond. Now, I've since learned that this technique is called the neurological levels alignment. It was developed by Dr. Robert Diltz, and that space beyond is often called spirit or God or the space of transformation. But when we did it, it was just called beyond. And I stepped into that beyond space, the space beyond any of that stuff that I'd been thinking about. And it was one of those glorious moments where the sun literally broke through the clouds at the moment I stepped into beyond. And it was like in a painting where you see the light break through the clouds, and it's sort of a representation of a higher power. And I could feel it on my face, and it was beautiful. And I just sat there for a while. And then the person guiding me through the process said, okay, now turn around. And taking that feeling of beyond with you, step back into the circle of identity and who else are you around money? And I was very surprised that I had a whole new set of answers to that question. And then take that sense of beyond and that sense of who you are. And we went back down through the levels, back down from beyond to identity, to beliefs and values, to capabilities, to behavior, to environment. And I found that when I was done, I just had a completely different sense of money. Even though I couldn't have told you specifically what was different, it just didn't seem like such a big deal anymore. And I fell in love with that methodology. I used to do guest spots on various TV shows, and I would do coaching demos, and that would tend to be the exercise that I would bring out because it was so reliable. People always got some kind of insight, some kind of effortless change doing the exercise. Now, when I switched the work that I did, and I had my kind of epiphany that, oh, I've been working as if people are broken, but people aren't broken. People work perfectly. We just don't understand how it is that we work. I started to have what I call transformative conversations with people, where I was no longer kind of doing exercises with them to get them to change. We were just exploring things in a very particular way that inevitably led to the same kinds of effortless changes that I used to experience doing my neurological levels alignment exercise. And what I realized was what happens in a transformative conversation, which is the same thing that happened in a neurological level alignment when it worked, was that there was always a progression from the personal, in other words, what my experience is, to the impersonal, in other words, what the human experience is, what's true for all people, no matter what. What's the nature of something? And then back into the personal to see how things look different, to see how things change. And I found you can do that with anything. And if you want to play with it for yourself, just take something that for you is a bit of an issue. And your first time through, you might want to take something that's a bit of an issue. You might not want to take your big one, you know, unless you've got somebody to play with who can kind of keep an eye on you. But just think about something that's like a bit of a, God, why do I do this? Oh, this is a hassle. And give yourself like a minute to either talk it out or write it out. Like, okay, what is this like for you? And then look upstream. Look to what's just true about this for everybody that wouldn't be different for somebody else than it is for me. So if I was playing with money again, I could spend that first minute and I could write down whatever it is I saw about money and what money looked like to me and where I was struggling with money and how I thought money should work. And then I would look at, well, what's just true about money? And I would say, well, money is made up. That's true. There's no such thing as money. We can put representations of value in a wheelbarrow, but you can't put the idea of money in a wheelbarrow. That's why millions and billions of dollars can be traded with zeros and ones on a computer. There's no such thing as money. Money is not the source of well-being. Money is not the source of security. We try to use it that way, but we know money can't be the source of it because some of the financially wealthiest people in the world do not feel secure and are not happy and do not feel well. And so just begin to see for yourself, what is the nature of this? What's just true for anyone around this, and what isn't true for anyone about this? And then when you've sat in that for a while, and that may be just a feeling like the feeling I had of stepping beyond and getting really quiet and kind of feeling the light and the warmth on my face, take that feeling, that sense of the impersonal, of the transpersonal, of beyond your individual experience, back with you and take another minute, write another paragraph, and see what seems different. And then, without even worrying about what you wrote or what you thought, notice over the next week anything that just seems a little bit different, a little bit simpler, a little bit less daunting about whatever you chose to explore. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.